from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game. Filling in for Steiny and Goo, here's Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Sable Clay to me.
We're giving away a Clay Thompson jersey in just over an hour. Just over an hour. 111 on this show. By the way, shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If we're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain, 888-957-9570. I'm going to call out Lori Matthews and Beard. I love Lori. We all love Lori. They disagree with the take. And I get Beard saying, hey, man, it's never buses. Keep fighting and adapting. Keep fighting and adapting.
You play to win the game.
I mean, here's what I'll say. How many people, if it wasn't for the receiver, Doc, because the receiver, Doc, has helped us relive some of the great moments last season. But who the hell's been bragging about the year they had last year? The Niners were the number one seed in the playoffs. They did open up the season 5-0. They did go on a roll, starting in Jacksonville and Tampa, beating up on Tampa. Pardon me. Going to Seattle on Thanksgiving night, beating them, beating Philadelphia 42-19. Who the hell's been bragging about that?
It feels like they weren't the same team after the Baltimore game. From the rest of the year on.
No, Baltimore took something out of them.
Yes.
Because even Washington was a struggle early on.
Yeah.
It was a struggle. Now, the Rams game, you throw it away because nobody really played.
The Washington game was closer
it was,
than
it was closer than we all believe.
Yeah, throw the Carson Wentz out-dueling Sam Darnold game out of here.
But who?
By the way, just real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. I'm going to let you finish your thing. Yeah, no one's bragging.
Same ghosts.
All you idiots who hyped up Sam Darnold. That's it. You're an idiot.
Whoa.
What, the one guy?
Who hyped up Sam Darnold?
There were certain people in the media like, Sam Darnold, get out of here.
Did Sam Darnold really breed out?
There were certain people who like slob knob the Pac-12 that are like, Sam Darnold, look at how he's throwing.
Sam Darnold's been
garbage.
Yeah,
I've never been over it.
I've never been a fan, but I do want to go with that competition. That training camp, I don't even really think it was a competition, but I don't even want to revisit. What I want to revisit, though, is who the hell's bragging about last regular season with the 49ers? They lost the Super Bowl, and nobody's brought up Philadelphia.
Nope.
Nobody's brought up the Dallas game, 42-10. Nobody's brought up the Rams game in week two in L.A. Nobody's brought up Pittsburgh in week one. That Super Bowl loss has hung over our heads all off season, and all we've talked about, when we have talked about the 49ers, how the hell do you get back to that point? And even if you get back to that point, I've been on record saying, damn, if I know Kansas City's on the other side of the bracket, I don't even know if I want to go to the Super Bowl no more and face Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's how scared I am of the Kansas City Chiefs and how, and I guess just how defeated I've been in these big games with the 49ers, starting with the Harbaugh Niners. Like, there's a lot of bad memories, man, whether it's the Super Bowl against Baltimore, whether it's the NFC Championships against Seattle or the New York Giants or the L.A. Rams at SoFi Stadium, Philadelphia, when you lost your quarterback on a sixth offensive play and Brandon Ayuk's running wide open on the post-quarter right in front of Shask and I. Shask said, he's got him. And nope, it's a fumble. I mean, come on, man. Like, come on, folks, let's get real. It's not a just, hey, we're going to enjoy the process.
This isn't
and if we fail because it's really hard. To hell with that.
I mean, it's not your seventh grade basketball team, okay?
No.
Like, oh, I'm just so happy to see you guys play. Like, this is big boy sports. All right? This is big time sports, big corporation sports. And these guys are all trying to fight for every dollar and their legacy, all right?
Have you listened to Joe Lacob, folks, this week?
He's the owner of the Golden State Warriors? He's obsessed with winning.
The guy wants to win.
Do you think anybody on the obituary of Jerry West was like, he did win the Western Conference 21 times.
Jerry West is still pissed he didn't beat the Celtics in the finals.
Like, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, I can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
Like what?
We don't sugarcoat things. I'm not sugarcoating anything.
How many times has the Dallas Cowboys won the East in the last, I don't know,
nobody even cares.
Years?
Nobody cares.
No!
You think Guru cares?
Cares.
Guru cares about...
Nobody
Guru's
cares.
Like, we can't even get to the damn NFC Championship game.
How about the Houston Rockets? Did anyone care?
Nobody cares. They won 65 games.
No one cares.
Nobody gives a damn. Nobody cares. Nobody's hanging regular season banners for winning 65 games.
I completely forgot about how cool and how awesome and how important that Eagle win was. And then when you kind of like step back and you forget completely right. about it, you're like, wow, that was such a great win.
And all the hate and all the joy we had of beating up on Philadelphia. I had a lot of joy. I loved that win. I don't even care because we lost to the same dead team they lost to in the Super Bowl.
Well, and the other part of this is that seeing the way the Detroit first half played out and seeing the way that the Super Bowl ended up playing out, you were really lucky to get past Green Bay and Detroit.
Very
I mean,
lucky.
You just were.
You should have won those games.
Both can be true. You won the game, you get credit, but you could also be equally like, wow, we were really lucky to escape the Green Bay game.
And not only that, anybody out there don't think Detroit's going to be better?
I think they're going to have a difficult time
within that
loading
division.
Up in that division, and then they've spent some money in some unique ways. Like, they haven't even paid Hutchinson yet.
No,
they're
going to
bite a kneecap off.
They're a couple years away from that. But also...
Why, by the way, I think about him a lot different. From that time that you just said, that bite a kneecap off, to where I am now, no person's opinion have I changed more on than Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell's won a lot. I actually like that press. I was like, you know what? Detroit needs some of that. That market needed that.
And Green Bay will be better. They were one of the youngest teams in the league. I think the Eagles with Saquon Barkley are
slow down
be
on Green Bay for a second.
Okay.
Slow down on Green Bay.
Okay.
Because a lot of people laughed at Green Bay. They went to Dallas and they won. And I got a lot of heat because I said, man, I love Jordan Love. Now, he did throw the two picks. That was his first, second playoff game, I should say. Second playoff game. Now, the road game in Dallas is really a neutral site because Cowboy fans, that home field advantage stinks. Ask Guru. They don't have a home field advantage. They're playing neutral site games basically every week. Green Bay had one of the youngest receiving cores, youngest offenses, and now they got Josh Jacobs. Now, if he can stay healthy, he's a bruising runner. In that cold weather, he could be really, really good.
He's doing a lot of talking, too. Let's
he is
see
doing
if
a lot
Josh
of talking.
Can stay healthy.
He's doing a lot of talking. A little too much for my liking, but it is what it is. But their receivers were hurt. So Green Bay will be better. The Chicago Bears have all kind of talent. The only question mark is, how quickly can Caleb Williams adapt to the NFL?
I'm not ready to give them anything, but they were the number one pick.
They're intriguing.
Or the ninth pick, excuse me.
They're intriguing, though. Allen,
but like,
Roma Dunze, DJ Moore. Okay. They've got playmakers.
But okay. They're a long way away for me to believe that they're a contender for the NFC.
Maybe. Their defense was really good last year, Shasky.
We thought the Texans were going to be horrible last year.
Okay, but the Texans were also a half away from not winning that division, and Gardner Minshew and the Indianapolis Colts could have won that division.
So it doesn't matter,
though.
Half away
from maybe beating the Ravens.
They were. They were
in
that game. That was a very close first half. Very close first half.
Okay, fair.
No, you know what I'm saying? This thing could flip in the
NFL. Chicago's got a rookie quarterback and a coach that I'm not sure is
going to coach. With that logic, Shasky, the Niners were a quarter away from not going to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
They needed a game-winning drive to beat the Packers.
They were also the best team in the league for three months.
But nobody cares. Nobody even cares.
But at no point did Chicago show life. Like, we have to give them a month.
No, that's not true. Chicago showed a lot of life late last year when they traded for Montez Sweat.
I'm talking about the rookie quarterback.
Yeah, well, Caleb Williams?
Yeah, like,
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
No, Chicago, they played very, very tough last year. They go to Minnesota on that Monday night game. They win an ugly game. I'm looking at the schedule right now, and I remember every single game because I was watching all these games. Detroit, they beat the hell out of Detroit after blowing a game late in the game. They were up like 12 points on Detroit with 4 minutes left in the game. Should have won the damn game. They go to Cleveland. Should have won that game in Cleveland. Justin Fields laid on all these passes. Chicago is a team I'm watching, man. I'm telling you. I think they could go from wherever they were. What was their record last year? Where were they? They were third in the North. I believe Chicago will be in the playoffs. That's a hot take. I think Chicago's going to be in the playoffs this year.
I mean, they can have a great year and not even be close to the playoffs. You know what I mean?
I think they're going to the playoffs.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna wait on Chicago until I see them play.
That's fine. But we said the same thing about Houston. I thought Houston was going to be they killed me in a survival pool.
Yeah, but that's the worst division in football on paper. You know, like it is.
But on paper,
Tennessee's terrible. And look, I'm just saying, Tennessee's terrible. Indianapolis lost their quarterback after 3 weeks and was starting Gardner Minshew for months on end. And then Jacksonville wasn't even close to as good as what we thought they might be.
Yeah, we thought they were going to be good on paper. So I'm Houston's tough. D'Amico Ryan's got something. They didn't bring in Danielle Hunter to go alongside Will Anderson Jr. and all the studs they have offensively. Watch out for them. But I like Chicago, man. Montez Sweat went there. But anyway, all that to say is that the NFC is getting better, Shasky. You don't think within our own division, Seattle's getting better?
Yes, I'm interested to see a defensive coach and how he can take Geno Smith to the next level, because I dismiss Seattle in general due to the fact that Geno Smith, I believe, has kind of hit a ceiling.
You know why I'm not going to dismiss Seattle, though? This coach coming over, McDonald, is the same defensive coordinator,
no doubt,
who rattled Shanahan in that offense on Christmas Day with the Baltimore Ravens.
Is he bringing Kyle Hamilton with him? Because that's one of the best safeties in the game.
But he's got some players on that Seattle defense. They've got some players on that defense.
They got Witherspoon.
Hopefully we have Ayuk to go to counter. But Seattle, they're coming, man. They're coming with this defense. And then you got the Cardinals. I got a sneaky suspicion about them. I don't know what it is, but Kyler seems like he's locked in. They bring in Marvin Harrison.
Well, I like Gannon.
Gannon's tough. That GM's tough. They're building something in there. Trey McBride, the tight end's good.
Yeah.
Tight end's really good.
Yeah.
And then you got Sean McVay and the Rams.
Well, you know how I feel about him now.
Yeah, you've come full circle on him. Welcome to my world with Sean McVay. So, this whole Super Bowl window thing, we're all talking about, hey, the window's open and blah, blah, blah. If you lose the Super Bowl, okay, it's really hard. And just enjoy the process. Has anybody enjoyed the process from last season? Because from what I've heard and from what I've seen online, nobody's talking about that damn process from last season. Everybody's talking about how you lost the Super Bowl and how you should have lost the NFC Championship game. So I say all that to say it is absolutely Super Bowl or bust. If they don't win the damn Super Bowl this year, it will be a massive disappointment. And I know how hard it is, but with this roster that Juszczyk just said up there in Lake Tahoe, we got the best roster in football. We got a Super Bowl roster. Kittle keeps saying it. Everybody's saying it.
Yeah, they
got
to finish the job, though.
And if they don't finish the job, Shasky, what? Then what?
Well, then we go to the bottom of the mountain and we're rearranging some of the deck chairs. You know, we're going to have to get rid of some guys. Like, they're very bloated financially. No, they are. They're bloated financially, and they're $30 million over whatever the salary cap is currently for next year. Well, that's without retaining a lot of players that are up for contract extensions. That's without giving Brock Purdy a big money, paycheck. And everyone's like, well, you know, it won't hit your books for a couple of years. It's gonna hit your books at some point. And all of their, poor financial spending and good financial spending came home to roost this offseason. And that's kind of why you're in a stalemate with Brandon Ayuk.
You know, and we didn't even talk about Philadelphia yet and what they have. You think Philadelphia with Saquon Barkley? They're going to be a problem.
I worry about them. But here's the thing. They don't have any linebackers. And
they never do.
Yeah, and so if you're going to face Kittle and CMC and Debo and you don't have linebackers, good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Because you got to be able to knock us out.
Who are their live acts? Who they got? Dakobe Dean from Georgia. Who else? They picked up Devin White from Tampa, who got benched in Tampa. Yeah. So we'll see about him. Nolan Smith Jr., another Georgia guy.
Well, they drafted the Iowa guy in the secondary. Yeah, I don't know what position he's going to play.
Cooper DeJean.
Trotter Jr.
Yeah, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. They got C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Reed Blankenship, Darius Slade Jr. Yeah. They're going to be a problem.
Bradshaw will not be there.
They're going to be a problem.
They really went after their secondary, though, because that's what was really porous last year for them. It was just a god-awful. You saw that in the Tampa game, especially.
Yeah. No doubt, but I also, like, against us, if you can't cover tight ends and running backs, we will destroy you. Like, so whether that's why Baltimore is so unique against the Niners. They have linebackers that can run and a safety who can cover middle of the field and deep. And so I look at specific teams.
They just lost Patrick Queen.
Right? Like, one of the things about Kansas City that I believe is to be, you know, very underrated is their linebackers were awesome in the Super Bowl.
They were all really good. Really good defense. Really good defense in the AFC. Damn, King Henry's in Baltimore now. Derrick Henry, you don't think that's going to work out for the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, I think that's going to work.
So you know what I'm saying?
So now I don't know whether Lamar's running or Derrick's running. Wow. That's a perfect fit.
Spinoni, you can get on this, but when I hear people, and I'm not trying to rip Beard, I'm not trying to rip Lauri Matthews, anybody who has that process. Or that has that thought process, but hey, just enjoy the journey and win.
I know people.
but I'm not going to be happy if they don't win the Super Bowl again.
Will Jed be happy? Forget us.
No, nobody will.
Will John Lynch be happy?
It would feel like a wasted era.
These guys are like maniacally obsessed with winning a Super Bowl. One, just one. Start there. One. They just want to win one.
How do you view the Niners, Spadone?
How do I view them?
Going into the season, just like what?
I think they have the most pressure in the NFL. It's not even close.
It's the most pressure for a Bay Area sports team, in my opinion, in over 20 years.
Since
the 0-2 Giants.
They are in probably the most difficult position you could be in without, because you haven't won a title. So like that, you can at least lean on that if you're the Warriors at this point, right? Like there's expectations, but it's like, you know what? They've already won so much.
There's equity.
There's equity earned built up. Hell, I know we are the Giants, it's whatever, but they've won in this century. Yeah. So they've already built up for some fans. Yeah. It's like, whatever, I was a little kid or something like that. It's fine. But for the Niners, three different times you have gone to the Super Bowl since the 2010 year, and you've lost.
So like
they've gotten to the point where the regular season no longer matters,
see?
But they haven't got that title, which is the worst space that you could possibly be in, because all of the expectations are Super Bowl or bust.
No doubt. When I think about my Warrior fandom, it's funny that you brought that up, B. My dad experienced the 75 team. My grandfather.
Yep.
I didn't. And so whenever I'm talking about the Warriors, I never account for that championship because I didn't.
We weren't born.
Exactly. In my life, the Warriors were losers.
Yep.
Okay? And so that's what my setting is as a fan.
Think about when they won, 2014-15. It was like Steve Kerr's first year. My expectations going into that season wasn't a championship.
No, it was like Western Conference Finals.
Let's get to the second round of playoffs.
If you got me to the Western Conference Finals, I would have felt.
I was just thinking, just get me to the second round. I'm good.
No,
keep building. And then they win the NBA championship. You're like, the Warriors?
I know.
NBA champions?
Remember, the Heatles had just won it the year before, like 2 years before. And you thought that the Heat and the Spurs were still going to be at it. And then LeBron bounced and LeBron it changed everything. So like, I want to ask Loveman, because you're a Niner fan, Loveman. Is the 94 championship equivalent to you that it would be for me when I talk about the 75 Warriors, where I have zero like emotional attachment other than through my vicariously through my dad? Does that make sense?
Kind of, to be honest. No, that last Niners Super Bowl title, I was, you know, toddling around at that time. I have no memory of what was going on at that time.
You're not hoisting that up, right?
It could have happened in 1955 as opposed to 1995, that title. So, like, yeah, that's... I kind of agree with what Spadoni said earlier. It's like with the Giants, like, yeah, I obviously want to see them get back, but that urgency, it's never going to be what it was for me. That pressure, it's never going to be what it was for me going back to 2009. Warriors, same thing. It's going to take a while for that pre-2014 pressure to really get there. But with the Niners, though, yeah, it's in my living memory of being able to process life. No, I have no memory of what the Niners are like when they're, you know, winning a Super Bowl.
And even with the Giants in 2010, I wasn't expecting them to win the World Series. To me, there wasn't a lot of pressure. They beat the Phillies, who were the odds-on favorite. All the pressure was on the Phillies. Philadelphia Phillies and Ryan Howard and Chase Utley and all those guys.
Felt like winning the World Series.
And then you got to play Texas, and it's like, oh, we're playing with house money. Let's beat the Texas Rangers.
They clinched the spot on the final day of the year with a Johnny Sanchez start where he hit a triple down the line.
Big Dog and I went to that game, and they ran all around the yard.
It was incredible.
They ran all around the yard
was
at that
Venable
game.
Was it Venable that struck out to end the game?
I forget who it was. It was just a big party. Yeah. I don't remember who it was. I just remember Big Dog walking out the stadium. Oh, you Giants says now on the wagon. It's like, dude, dial it down. You didn't believe they were going to win.
No one did.
Because they were 10 games behind the Padres that season at NL West.
No doubt.
In the season, and the Padres had to choke to get that division.
I thought the James Loney Dodgers were going to get us.
Right. So I'm...
you like that. The Matt Kemp,
come on.
James Loney, Chad Billingsley.
Jesus Guzman.
Yes, Jonathan Broxton Dodgers.
We got Call of the Week coming up in a couple
Rafael
minutes.
Rafael for call.
We got Call of the Week coming up in a couple minutes. Man. Let's go to Bobby at Los Altos. Bobby, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hopefully you can enjoy this afternoon. Listen, I'm a little surprised to hear that you're to make a point that it's a counterpoint or a hot take to say it's a do or die season. I feel like that's pretty obvious, and that's why I don't understand why we can't get the Brandon Ayuk thing done. I don't really care about next year, and if we have to blow up the team, so be it. I feel like do or die was actually last year, and I was going to make a point about how every other contender in the NFC is just getting better, minus maybe the Philadelphia Eagles. But you guys just covered that about 5 minutes ago. So it's absolutely do or die. And I guess the last point is that in terms of most pressure, I think you said, Bronte, something about most pressure.
Most pressure. I believe the Niners have the most pressure for a Bay Area sports team since the 0-2 Giants. Now, the Sharks, I don't want to admit the Sharks in the 2010s. They had a lot of pressure on them to get over the top with all the players that they had.
Thornton, Marlowe.
They were knocking on the doorstep. They had a lot of pressure on them to try to win one cup. But in my opinion, the 0-2 Giants had so much pressure to try to win the World Series because you knew it was Dusty's last year. Jeff Kent was probably not coming back. I believe this team coming up, that's about to open up training camp, Bobby, next Wednesday, down in Santa Clara, has the most pressure on them that we've seen on a Bay Area sports team since the 0-2 San Francisco Giants.
I'm going to respectfully disagree. I think the KD Warriors had much more pressure on them. It's the same scenario. You don't even watch the regular season, and you're just waiting for the playoffs for something to begin. And absolutely, look, the Niners, they got to take care of the Ayuk thing, and if they got to get rid of him next year and need all that guaranteed money, so be it. This is their only chance. Like you said, Green Bay's only getting better. Yep. Detroit's only getting better. Everyone's reloading. Philadelphia, I believe we broke them. I don't think they're going to be anything this year. If we don't get it done this year, quit worrying about next year's salary cap management. Yeah. Go all in now.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you, Bobby, on the last point. I respect the KD era. That first year with KD, maybe there was some pressure, but I always thought they're getting back to the finals and they're winning.
And they already had a title.
That's the thing. You can lean on that.
Yeah. Maybe for like, you have to win it or bust, but like in terms of legacy defining stuff, I don't know.
30 seconds or less, Dave Frizzle. 30 seconds or less, Dave Frizzle, before we get to Fleming. What's up, Dave?
Man, hey, I'm not excited like you guys, man. I feel like last year we had good health. You know, everybody was, we had the first seed, and, you know, the teams, they weren't ready yet. We had that perfect opportunity, and this year we didn't really get any better in the offseason. You know, first you have the same roster, only changes you have Leonard Floyd. So, yeah, I'm not excited. You know, it's like I'm kind of numb to all the pain now. We've been so far and always the same result. I think they got to change their approach in the playoffs. I think we get too tight in the playoffs, and you know, and it's hard to get excited right now. You know, yeah, I think our window was last year. We have a great shot this year, but it's like, you know, like to what end? Like I can't get excited. It's the same result every year.
That's what's happening.
1994 Steve Young feel where you had to get through the Cowboys. Yep. Like the whole Steve Young era was going to be delegitimized if they couldn't win one.
Yep, no, pal. That's a great point. All right, it's time for Caller of the Week. This week's caller is Guru's boy, now our boy, 49er Frankie, who's not feeling Kyle Shanahan or Brandon Ayuk this week. Let's go to 49er Frankie, Union City.
He gave Mahomes the ball last. He could never be forgiven for that. Mm. I don't care how I can never, how tired your defense is. If they score in one play, you get the ball last with a chance to win the Super Bowl. And that's the bottom line. He screwed up. He can never be forgiven for that, ever. As good as a coach he is, he can never be forgiven for that.
How, 49er Frankie, how you feeling about IU?
You know what? His skill set, there's 15, 20 guys with his skill set, man. Mm. There's not one with Debo's skill set. Not one. He's a dime a dozen, man.
I respect it.
He's a good player, but his, look, when you play Cleveland, Baltimore, Kansas City, there's no separation.
Mm. 49er Frankie, this week's caller of the week. How about that, Guru? Caller to the roast, and if your call is better than the rest, you could be named caller of the week. To what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Giving out the clay jersey at 111, but we got Dave Fleming to talk some Giants baseball as they begin the second half of the season. What about the Giants? Do they have any pressure? Or does Farhan have all the pressure on him to make a deal at the deadline to get this team back into the playoffs? That's coming up here. Brunch with Butcher Bonta here on 95.7.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Again.
I just want you guys to talk about me the way you talk about Mike Florio.
This is Klay Thompson, and you are listening to The Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. And better not be roasting me if I'm doing all these intros.
We will never, ever roast a legend like you, Klay Thompson. Heck, we're giving away your autographed jersey. That's right, an autographed Klay Thompson jersey today. Listen at 111 with Shasky and I. That's coming up in less than 45 minutes. And Steiny and Goo at 511 for your chance. Call the contest line at 415-523-4652. Let's get into the Giants for a second. Giants, fresh off the All-Star break. Fresh off the break, they begin the second half of the season, the unofficial second half of the season in Colorado. Coors Field.
What do I always say to you?
What?
Thank God for the Rockies.
Well, Kyle Harrison had his best start at Coors Field earlier this season. He's going against Cal Quantrill. 6-7, 4.13 ERA. Let's get to our main man, Dave Fleming, joining us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Flem, what is happening? We're in a different slot. I know we feel fresh, we feel lively, we've gotten some sleep here, but I want to start the conversation with this, Flem. We're having some fun earlier in the show. Top five fictional football players, top five fictional baseball players, top five fictional basketball player. If I was to ask you your top fictional baseball player in a baseball movie, who would it be?
Or show.
It could be show, too. It could be show.
What do you mean by top?
So, like, your favorite fictional character.
Here we go. So, for example, right, if I was thinking about baseball fictional characters, I was telling Bonte, emotionally, the dad and Kevin Costner in Field of Dreams having a catch, you know, on the field. Like, to me, like, that's now, you know, losing my pops and stuff with my son. Like, that's a top character now for me all time. When he says, Dad, can we have a catch?
I love Benny DJ Rodriguez from the Sandlot. I love him with the PF Flyers or whatnot.
All good choices. That's a hard question.
It is a hard one.
I think the most realistic baseball movie was Bull Durham. Like, I think Bull Durham captured minor leagues better than, well, I mean, not many have actually attempted that, but it captured the essence of baseball better than any movie. So, I'd almost lean towards the Tim Robbins character as opposed to Crash Davis, but I might go Crash Davis just because all the sort of the nuggets and the wisdom and the stuff that gets talked about. I was in the minor leagues, and that movie was amazingly accurate.
I love that. All right, so look, I'm looking at the Giants, and you tell me if I'm crazy on this. Like, Lubman and I were doing our podcast today, and we were arguing, and he was like, hey, you know, playoffs, it's all important, and playoffs. And I say, hey, look, man, like, I understand the zoom in, it's about this year, and there's big stakes, and I get all that. But as I zoom out, because at times you do have to zoom out and think big picture, boy, that might have been the best half a rookie has had in over a decade for anyone on the Giants. And I'm looking at what they've got now with Bailey and Ramos. And big picture, I feel really good about this year's chances in the playoffs. I don't. How should Giants fans feel as they're getting ready for this second half here?
That is, I mean, I hate to tell anybody how they should feel. How do I feel? I feel the way that you do. There are a lot of big-time positives, and probably Ramos now is number one on the list. It's interesting because for a team that has really earned its record, like if you dig deep into the underlying stuff, the Giants are about exactly where they should be. So that's discouraging because I think we felt like this team should be better than three games under 500. But I also think that there have been enough real, true positives from the first half to make me excited about the Giants going forward. So I kind of probably feel a lot the way that you do. And, you know, if what we saw from Blake Snell at the end of the first half can really, truly translate till from now through the end of the season, they have a shot. They have a shot to go on a long win streak and actually get in and do some damage. So I still think there's hope for this season, and I think there's a lot of cool stuff that's happened for the Giants to give you a bigger picture feel of where this franchise is headed.
Yeah, Flem, I'm coming with you with Blake Snell. I bought stock into Blake Snell. His lifetime numbers in July, August, and September have been phenomenal. I think Blake Snell is not going to be a problem in the second half of the season for the Giants. I think the guy we saw the last two starts on that homestand, I believe, is the guy we'll see if he's on this team after the deadline for the foreseeable future here. But 7 of the next 11 against Colorado. And then you got the four against the Dodgers, and boy, it feels like a great time to face the Dodgers. Well, all the injuries that they have going on and everything going on with their roster and their pitching staff, it feels like the Giants, if there's not a time, now's the time to get hot. If they can't get hot over the next 11 games, how do you think it'll dictate the trade deadline if they can't get hot against Colorado and the Dodgers?
Yeah, I do. Those are a couple questions rolled into one, all good questions. I agree with you that this is the biggest week of the year. Like, the Giants have not played well enough away from home. They've been a pretty good home team this season. if you just look at the bottom line, like, okay, how do you get to even 85 wins? What is that now? Like, I mean, you gotta really go on a run, like 38 and 20-ish or something. You know, they have to really play well over these last 65 games or whatever it is. So how do you do that? You can't only win at home. You got to play better on the road. So this is a huge week to establish that you can do that. As you get your pitching lined up and get some guys back, you got to play better on the road. And you're right. Like, you're never getting the Dodgers at a better time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rockies are not a great team. Even though you're playing at Coors Field, they're not a great team. So I'm with you on that part of it. You know, can they make an argument to be buyers at the deadline? I think they really could if they had a great week plus, then they can make that argument. But I do think the flip side of what you're talking about is true. If they don't play well this week, there is an argument to, not a teardown, but there's right. definitely a case to be made that they could sell off some pieces at the deadline if they don't play well this week.
Now, how disappointing would that be? Coming into the season with the payroll that they've had and the pitching staff they've amassed here and all the talk about, hey, man, playoffs, playoffs, playoffs. That would be wouldn't that be disappointing, Flynn, if they did become sellers this season?
It would be, there's no way around it. It would be really disappointing. It would be, there would be no way to couch that other than the year's been disappointing.
Right, because I hear you on the pillars with the youngsters. I'm with you there with Bailey and Ramos and some of the things we've seen.
Zoom out.
That's the zoom out. But for this team and this regime, I know you can't get into Farhan and what could happen with him, but it would be, I think it would be a massive disappointment if they did start selling in a couple weeks.
Yeah, but I think this, you know, one thing about Farhan is I don't believe he's a cover my own rear end kind of guy. Like, Farhan believes deeply in doing the best thing for the franchise. And so I don't believe it's going to, you know, if he decides this team is just not good enough to get there and there's a great deal to be made that would help the Giants' future, he's going to make it, period. I think the default for everybody is give this team a chance to take it all the way through to the end. You know, most of these deadline deals, most of them don't end up doing enough for your future to make it worth it to punt on a season where you still have a chance. Mm. You know what I mean? Like most of these trades are not bringing back. Now, there could be an exception. You know, there could be a deal out there, could be, with so few sellers, that there could be a deal to get you a guy that you've circled somewhere, a young player that, hey, this can be a big part of our future, and that would be tough to pass up. So I think it's going to be a really hard decision to make. You're going to take it all the way down to the end, get as many games under your belt as possible to see where we stand as a team, and then make your decision and only make a trade to sell if you're getting something really valuable back in return, and where simultaneously you can continue to run Harrison and Birdsong and Ramos and Matos and Wisely and Bailey and those guys out there and continue to pile up more info about how big a part of your future those guys can be. So it doesn't have to be the rest of the season is waste. It doesn't have to be that. But if they want to avoid that, they got to play well this week. Have to.
All right, so let's. You referenced a couple of people. There's so many that I want to get to. I want to rat-a-tat-tat a couple. Second half, just a thought about what they need to do or what you want to see from them. I'll rat-a-tat-tat a couple. Just the first sentence or two that comes to mind. Hayden Birdsong.
Control the fastball better.
Okay.
Like that.
What about Kyle Harrison tonight?
Almost the same thing for me for Kyle. Like, you know, both those guys are in the same bucket for me. Like, they're both young and they're both unrefined. Tighten up. Like, you gotta find a way, not necessarily to be more efficient. Stop wasting so many pitches to fall behind in the count. Be more aggressive with your stuff. They both have great stuff. If they can do that, they can take a big step forward.
Camilo Duvall.
Gosh, there's a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of things with him. I'll say the number one thing. Forget all the psychobabble stuff, which some of that is applicable to Camilo. Like, you got to have a better attitude. You got to have a better mindset out there.
You got to clean up all the little details that he continues to fail to clean up. All those things do apply, but the stuff hasn't been as good either. It just hasn't been. Find a way, whether it's, you know, fine work in the bullpen or whatever. We need to see that explosive movement with the fastball, with the slider. The stuff has to be a little better. So that's, for me, that's the number one thing. You can have all the other problems, but the stuff, if you dig down deep, it just hasn't been quite as good. And you can find that. You dig into the StatCast stuff, you can find it with him.
What do you do with both middle infield spots in the second half, second base and shortstop?
Yeah, I mean, I think Wisely's making a case to be a big part of this team going forward. Tyro's got to play a lot better. Like, there's a lot of pressure on Tyro in the next 60 games, a lot. He has to show that he's better than the player he's been for the first half plus of this season. Because Wisely's more natural spot is definitely second base. Like, that's not to say he can't play short, and it's really valuable to have a guy who can fill in over there, but my gut tells me he's not your future stop defensively. My gut tells me they still need a better option long-term at shortstop, and that crowd second base. And it may, you know, that's the kind of competition you want. Like, show me. Show us as a franchise which one of you guys wants to be our guy going forward.
Dave Fleming here with Bonte and Butch here on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. A couple more for you, Flem. What happens with Jordan Hicks in the second half of the season?
Yeah, good question. You got to work with him. Like, Jordan's been so, you can say what you want about the bottom line results, mm-hmm. but he deserves a ton of credit for doing what he's done to this point. And so he's earned the right to have a say in how you move forward. He's realistic enough to know that he can't just take it all the way to the end going five innings a night. Like, that's probably not realistic. So just make sure that you're working with him to where he's okay with the plan you have, and send him to the bullpen at some point. Like, whether that's right now or a few more starts when you get Ray and Cobb back and get guys going. But I think he can be a weapon for you still. You might not be able to use him like you would if reliever all year. It might not be a back-to-back night situation, or you might have to use him a little differently. He can still help this team a lot.
All right. Expectations. What are the realistic expectations for Robbie Ray and Alex Cobb? Because I'm not going to lie to you, Flem, I'm getting a little excited about, especially Robbie Ray. I'm kind of having these visions here for three, Logan Webb, Blake Snell, Robbie Ray in a short series. That could be nasty for an opposing team. What should our expectations be for Robbie Ray and Alex Cobb?
Yeah, I had a better answer. I do. I mean, I think Robbie Ray, the expectation should be pretty high. Like, Robbie Ray looks great physically. He's throwing hard. He's got a track record of dominance when he's healthy and right. Can he be fine with his command coming back immediately? I don't know. But I think the expectation should be pretty high. He's the really intriguing one. You know, I mean, the bottom line with him is if he pitches really well, he's going to opt out.
Yeah.
And so then you got a big decision on your hands with him. But root for that. Like, if he pitches well enough to do that, that's a good thing for the Giants. Like, that is not a bad thing. Cobb is in a different bucket for me. Like, I love Cobb. He's a leader on this team. He's a great dude. The body seems to be breaking down now. And if he can get through the end of the year healthy, maybe you got a chance to bring him back. He liked him here. If you're not counting on him to be a full season starter, you might be able to kind of fit him into your plans for next year without counting on him in the way that you would earlier in his career. I'm just pulling for Cobb just to have a positive finish to what's been a frustrating year. Ray is in a different cat. Like, Robbie Ray, you could see some dominance from him, and be really cool.
Dave, I have to insert the joke when there is one.
Don't do it. Let
Spadoni
do it.
Are you saying there's not a lot of corn left on the cob?
Oh.
There, we may be down to our final few kernels. We might be.
Joe Spadoni. Joe Spadoni wanted us to say it. I refuse to say it, Flem. I wasn't going to put you in that spot, but you played the game well, man. I'd rather Shasky or Joe Spadoni take the bullet for us, man. Unbelievable. Flynn, have fun out there in Colorado, man. Seven
weekend,
of the next
Dave.
11. It's a great stretch for the Giants, man, to get right here. Let's go, baby. Let's get to August, man. Hopefully they're playing for something by the time September rolls around.
I sure hope so. I mean, there have been enough really good things happening with this team. I still have a lot of belief. So I haven't told Javi this, but on the open on the TV side tonight, I might, you know, just drop a, this is the most important weekend of the whole.
That's something I always use every week, Flip. So as long as you only use it once every 3 months, that's fine. Until Javi, yeah. We said hi. I love you and Javi together. I love you and Pitts, but Javi's really grown in that role, man. I really love Javi Lopez. He's great.
He's doing a great job. He really is. So we'll see if we can dial up a few wins this weekend.
Absolutely, Flynn. We'll talk to you next week, man, around the time the Dodgers are hosting the Giants down at Dodger Stadium.
Ooh,
Flynn,
boy.
Take care.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Dave Fleming here on the Morning Rush, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Robbie Ray. We should set the expectations high. Now, I get all the youngsters, and the youngsters are, look, I love the youngsters. They're going to do what they do. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to play well. They're learning on the fly here with Wisely. And Wisely's exceeded expectations. I got no problem with them.
Yeah, but
I got no problem with Ramos.
As I've been saying, and as Dave alluded to, he's more second base than shortstop.
Probably.
He can do a little at shortstop.
Probably.
Like in a pinch, but I view him as he'd be a nice second baseman.
So do you go out there and try to trade for a shortstop?
That's the number one. See, for me, organizationally, it's the number one need. Yeah. Look at their farm, look at their system, and then look at the prospects in the rankings, and then look at their big league team.
You know what the Giants?
That's the number one need. But there are not a lot of guys out there. That's why I want Jackson Holliday.
Where would you say Farhan's Q rating is right now?
Very low.
Very low. You know how that Q rating can ascend a bit?
Yeah.
Go get Bo Bichette and go get Vlad Guerrero Jr. And I know you don't not in love with Bo Bichette.
I don't like him as a defensive shortstop,
but you know
and I don't think his bat is. I think it's dramatically overrated.
Isn't it an upgrade over Wisely?
No, he's a solution for the next year or two.
For the next year or two. That's all
agree.
I'm looking for.
I would agree.
But the big prize is Vlad Guerrero Jr. Because I've got to figure out first base.
Yeah.
Lamont Wade Jr. going to be able to hold up for the second half of the season?
No.
Wilmer Flores is an afterthought.
Wilmer's getting to the end.
Right. You want to talk about Cordell to Cobb and how many kernels are left. I mean, come on. Wilmer Flores at the end of the row with this team. Can I go get Vlad and Bo Bichette?
I would love it.
Let me go get those guys.
Look, if you got a shortstop of the next couple of years at the deadline, boom. Like, that's, to me, like, forget this season. That is, like, objective number one in the offseason anyway.
What about first base, though, Shasky? Like, first base is not an afterthought of a position. First base is big boy territory. First base is, I need power at that spot. First base is, we need 20 home runs, 25 home runs, average. Right now, how many home runs does Lamont Wade Jr. have?
He has three.
He has
19 RBIs.
Wilmer Flores has four. We've got seven home runs for the first base spot. I think Vlad Jr. has maybe hit seven home runs in the last month.
Eesh.
Can I get a pack? Because the Blue Jays, they open up against Detroit today, and Detroit's playing some good baseball.
Yeah, but what are you going to give them? What are you going to give them?
I'll tell you what I'll give them. I'll start with Luciano.
Okay.
I'll start with Tyro Estrada. You can have Wilmer Flores. You can have Conforto. You want a pitcher? Where's Wisenhunt at? You can go have Wisenhunt.
Estrada.
Here's Wisenhunt for you. Go get Wisenhunt.
Wisenhunt has not been doing well this year in the minors.
Who else do you
want? I don't know how he's viewed.
Hey, Toronto. The only guys that are untouchable in my farm system is our guy in single A.
Yeah, Bryce Eldridge.
That's it.
They took a lot of outfielders. I think Matos is on the move at the deadline.
Well, he can go too then.
Well, no, we're looking at this like holistically as at their farm. They took a lot of outfielders early in the draft. I got a feeling that Matos is on the move.
So
I've been hearing they'll listen to Camillo. I've been hearing that Estrada's been on the block. Not that anyone wants him. I've been hearing.
If I'm Farhan. And I go to Toronto, I'm basically saying, outside of Bryce Eldridge, who the hell do you want?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great. I just don't know. But again, like when the Nationals did their deal with the Dodgers a couple years
Scherzer
back,
and
then they
Turner.
Did their deal with the San Diego Padres, they basically said, we like your whole farm,
So we'll do deals with you. So I don't know if like Toronto looks at the Giants and they're like, hey, I like your system. We'll do a deal with you. And like, you know, we'll finagle which parts we want. And I'm sure you'll have an untouchable somewhere in there. I just don't know that. And that's been the big thing holding them back in all these trades.
Well, that's the other thing, too. You know, we talk about the Warriors, right? And it takes two to tango with Larry Market in, or whether it's Brandon Ingram, or whether it's Mikal Bridges, or whether it's Paul George. It's like, boy, it takes two to tango. It takes two to tango. And I get that. And it comes. It's like that with baseball, too. But if Farhan wants to raise his Q rating with the fan base, and I don't even think he has any Q rating. A start would be to try to go get that big boy in Toronto, and that's Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Well,
because everybody's hyper focused on shortstop. What about first base?
Well, no, I mean,
first base seems like an option. I need a good first baseman.
No, I'm with you. The other thing he said that I found to be very interesting, he was alluding to some of the character and clubhouse concerns that I've been hearing about with Camilo Duvall. And it feels like when Mike Kruko and Dwayne Kuiper are coming out, and they're not blasting him, but it's as close to blasting a player as they're going to get. The last time I've heard Kruko been so critical of a player was Miguel Tejada not getting a bunt down a decade ago.
No, I mean, oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. And then Kipe with the Luciano thing, and they're both out on these guys.
Go get it!
Urgent! Now! Gotta get rid of it! And then Camilo, you're right about Kruk. He was really... he's letting it all hang out when it comes to Camilo Duvall.
Well, I had heard again, and this is like, you know, you hear things, you don't know what's real and what's not. But I heard like, you know, there's some guys in the clubhouse that don't rock with him. Okay, he's a closer, fine, whatever. Like, I think a lot of pitchers are weird because it's a weird life. You're down there in the bullpen, you do your thing down here, and you just be ready when we call on you. So it's like it creates a lot of weird personalities just by nature.
I don't want to put Lubman on the spot, but he's kind of alluded to this when he's been in the clubhouse. Covered the San Francisco Giants. Like, yeah, Camilo Duvall
is a little different.
Kind of late to the party. Let me jump in here.
No, it's your poor point. Like, I mean, first off, yeah, when you're a closer, there is kind of a weirdness you have to have.
You're just weird.
Yeah, which is fine. You accept that. You need that to be a closer.
Agreed.
But, like, yeah, I'm not in the clubhouse all the time. There's a lot of gaps there that I could be missing. But just from what I see, yeah, he does kind of, I don't know if lone wolf is the right word, maybe, but I personally just not seen him interacting with a lot of guys when we're in there. He does go up with the relievers and stretch with them, but as far as interaction, I don't see a whole lot.
At least he's not Mark Melancon.
I was just going to say, I love how that's
he's not
thing.
Mark Melancon. Yeah, I stretch by myself. I don't stretch with you guys. Oh, we got a break. That was quick. All right, what's coming up in the game? Brought to you by St. Martin, Lucky, California. Anthony Vereen, Warriors Summer League coach. We'll call him at 1:30. We'll call him. Oh, I know, love. I mean, I was going to get there. Let me cook, son. Let me cook. And then, of course, we'll give it out to Klay Thompson jersey. Or you're going to qualify for a Klay Thompson jersey. 111.
Yay!
Qualify for an autograph Klay Thompson jersey. That's coming up, brought to you by Save Mart in Lucky, California.
I like my Warriors.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.